Welcome to the Pat Williams Weekend Hour, right here on News Talk AM 580 WDBO. Now, here's your host, Pat Williams.
Good to have you with us here on this Saturday morning. Dante Marcatelli is the engineer. Andrew Herdliska is the producer. And John Mullins joins us from London. He is the author of the new Business Road Test and now getting to Plan B, breaking through to a better business model. John, good to talk to you. How are you?
Thank you, Pat. Just fine. How are you?
So how do we get through to a better business model? Have we been doing everything all wrong?
Well, no. The best entrepreneurs have figured out that Plan A, the idea that they start with, most of the time doesn't work, or at least it doesn't work the way you think it's going to work. So the challenge is to have some way to get to Plan B. And forever, entrepreneurs have been finding that Plan B is actually where they make their money. But there hasn't been a systematic way to get there. And what Randy Commissar and I have done in this new book, Getting to Plan B, is to lay out a field-tested process that we've learned will take you from where you are today that maybe isn't working quite right to some place that you really want to be.
John, I want you to walk us through the five key elements of every business model. First one you call the revenue model. Who will buy, how often, how soon, at what cost? Follow up on that, please.
Pat, the problem is that most people in writing a business plan or thinking about a new venture immediately turn on Excel and start to fill in spreadsheets and create a P&L and a balance sheet, and then they fiddle with it till it looks like a hockey stick. But it's almost never based on any kind of real-world data. So what we suggest is that people look independently at the five key elements. The revenue model, where's your revenue going to come from? Is there really a customer who's going to buy? Those kind of questions. Your gross margin, how much are you going to have left over after you sell one gizmo to whoever buys it? Your operating model, that is all the other costs you have to do to keep the lights on. Your working capital model, a crucial set of issues about when you get paid for what you sell, when you have to pay your suppliers, and the timing of the cash, because the timing of when the cash comes and goes is really crucial. And then lastly, those four things lead to your investment model. How much money do you need to raise? What's the best way to raise it? And by managing those other elements, can you reduce how much money you need to raise?
You say that cash is king. Your working capital model, dig into that a little bit deeper.
Well, you know, accountants have taught business people that what you have to think about is profit. But actually, profit is pretty meaningless to entrepreneurs. And what entrepreneurs really care for and should care for is about cash flow. So Costco is a fabulous example. Everybody knows Costco today, but when they started, they had this audacious idea that if they could get people to pay a membership fee for the privilege of shopping there, that cash that they got up front before they ever really had to open the store or buy forklifts and merchandise and all that stuff, that cash could really kind of fund the business. And the result is that by adding up your $50 and my 50 pounds in the UK and so on, they end up with about two-thirds of their profits every year, and they don't need to make any profits, really, on selling merchandise. The result is they can undersell everybody else in business, and it creates a huge competitive advantage and a really compelling retail environment for consumers. And that's all about that working capital issue and cash and figuring out how to get a bunch of cash from you and me up front.
It takes money to make money. We've heard that forever, haven't we?
Well, yeah, we have.
What do you tell us differently here?
Well, many entrepreneurs think the keys to the entrepreneurial kingdom are about raising capital from a VC, and you put a bunch of money in the bank and you start to spend it, and if you invest it wisely, you're going to make a bunch of money. The facts are that most business plans that go to a VC never raise any capital, and that of the plans that do get funded, most of them don't deliver any return at all. So what we suggest is actually there are better places to get the capital if you can. One of those is from working capital, as I just described. The other is, for example, if you're in a business-to-business kind of setting, get a couple lead customers to help you bankroll the development of the solution you're going to give them. You know, if you've really got a compelling proposition that somebody's going to really value, they'll probably give you some money to help you co-develop it. And that's a way to get into business on the customer's cash rather than having to give away a bunch of equity to a business angel or a venture capitalist or to Uncle Ted, for that matter.
You've mentioned the word entrepreneur a couple of times here, John. Who is an entrepreneur? Who should be an entrepreneur? What does the entrepreneurial spirit mean as far as you're concerned?
Pat, the mindset of an entrepreneur is about pursuing opportunities without any regard, really, to the resources you currently have in your hands. So you may see an opportunity to change something in the world around you, but you maybe don't have capital yet. You may not have any suppliers yet. You may not yet have a customer signed up. But without regard to all of those limitations, you say, somehow I'm gonna get there, and you begin gathering those resources you need, human resources, capital, customers, suppliers, and so on, one at a time, and gradually get to where you want to go. That kind of mindset is radically different from the mindset of many kind of more conservative, perhaps more bureaucratic people in much larger organizations who want all the resources up front, and they're worried about how big is their corner office and how many people report to them and all that kind of stuff. Entrepreneurs could care less about all that stuff. They just figure, here's the opportunity, I'm going to go for it, and I'll gather the resources I need as I go. And they're really good at it, the best of them.
Are entrepreneurs born or made?
There's little question that entrepreneurs are made. You know, if you look at the characteristics of famous entrepreneurs, you have people like Jeff Hawkins, who founded Palm Pilot. He's one of the most introverted people you'd ever know. You wouldn't think Jeff Hawkins would be an entrepreneur. Michael Dell's an introvert. On the other hand, you have on the side of the pond where I live, Richard Branson, a Virgin, who's a completely extroverted guy who's out there all the time. It's a myth that entrepreneurs are born and that only certain types of people can be entrepreneurs. They come in all types, colors, flavors, sizes. That doesn't mean anybody can be one, but anybody who is tolerant enough of the ambiguity and uncertainty that's inherent in the entrepreneurial path, and anybody who's really focused on an opportunity doesn't have to worry about, you know, am I the right personality type or something like that. Anybody can pursue this path who wants to.
John Mullins is our guest. He and Randy Commissar have jointly written Getting to Plan B, Breaking Through to a Better Business Model. Trimming the fat, watching expenses, how important is that as far as you're concerned, John?
Pat, it's not important for every business. We talked a moment ago about the five elements of a business model, but what we found in the research that underlies Getting to Plan B is that most of the time, and very interestingly, most companies hang their hat on just one or maybe one or two of those five elements. So, for example, people in your part of the world know about Southwest Airlines, which has been a fabulous story for the last 30 years in the airline industry, most profitable airline really in history consistently. There's a very interesting company in Europe called Ryanair that we profile in the book. And Ryanair has, if you can believe it, out-Southwested Southwest. They figured out how to take every nickel and dime out of their operating costs so that they can get the price of the airfare down so low that people don't want to travel any other way. So some of the things they've done, they've eliminated the little awnings that you push up and down by the window, because that would take a person time in between a turnaround at an airport to push all those things up. Well, let's just not have them there. they said, well, gee, if we don't have any seat back pockets, we could we then don't have to clean the trash out of those pockets because there are no pockets. In fact, Michael Ryan's newest idea is actually to put a coin slot on the loo. You know, because he figures then people, as he said in the press the other day, you know, it's only an hour flight. People can cross their legs. And by the way, that lets them put in a couple extra seats. Now, I think he's teasing, but you get the idea. The guy is a a master at finding any place he can take out a little bit of cost.
John Mullins, our guest, back for more after this. It's AM 580 WDBO.